And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I am Clayton, joined by Merch as always. Merch, how you doing?
Hopefully my drink won't ruin this podcast, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, you missed out on a whole week of podcasts because of that.
Yeah.
Has it been 2 weeks actually now? 2 weeks?
It's been 2 weeks since we recorded, but it's been a week since I've had it back.
So. Oh, my word. It's just ridiculous. Then we got Nelson in the car, as always, on his drive home. Nelson, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, just unfortunately, due to like my job, I am driving home from downtown LA, so I will be in the car for a while. But yeah, no, I am kicking off my little foray into Formula One ready. So I'm writing articles for a site called Last Word on Sports. So you can find my writing there. And yeah, the goal is to eventually become a credentialed writer. So yeah. My like little
headboard.
Yeah, did pretty well.
Nice. As long as you aren't breaking up like crazy, we're happy to have you here, Nelson.
Cool.
And then we have the return of Big Swole.
Roger.
And the myth, legend. Roger. Mr. Twitter likes himself. Raj, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I promised a Under the Bus podcast appearance. And so I knew I'd come on. I was kind of hoping for a little better situation. I was hoping the team kind of turned around so I can just flush out optimism on all of you. But that's not the case. But I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad. I love hearing Raj on his spaces after every game. Usually I have to listen to him in the morning or later the next afternoon, but his eternal optimism seems to be running a little short. So, which is sad. I love optimistic Raj. It's just one of my favorite things. It really is. Raj is a good guy. He deserves to be happy. So
there's still stuff here. It's just, you know, when you're 3-10, you're 3-10. There's no getting around that. You are what your record says you are sometimes.
It's very true. All right. So there's obviously not a lot of fun to talk about. The last time we had recorded, the Lakers had just won 2 in a row. They were 2-5. We even had a little bit of optimism. And then that quickly went away. That podcast is going to remain probably not posted because
there's no point.
There is just no point to it. I don't want to.
No, I want to hear that show. I want to hear that show, man.
I'll send you the MP4. You can watch it yourself.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into it. I think when we were talking about this, I think most of the team's problems stem towards the front office, at least in my opinion, when it comes to it. We have a general manager who is extended through 2026 secretly, and he has built one of, if not the worst shooting team ever. It is just absolutely awful to watch. We have four legit players, like NBA players, we'll say, not like obviously all starters or anything like that, but obviously LeBron when he's healthy, AD. Who's been a monster on defense, but Raj, your comments about how he just almost disappears in the second half is just spot on. It's just so frustrating.
He was better last game, but that was out of circumstance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was kind of required at that point. Mm-hmm. Then, obviously, Lonnie Walker has been really good for the Lakers this year. And then Austin Reeves. That's
Troy. I think Troy.
Troy Brown, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my question though with Troy is how many good teams would he be playing for?
Depends on the build of the team, honestly, but I think a low playoff team.
Milwaukee?
No, they have too many good wings.
Boston?
Too many good wings.
and a team that's not with a good record right now. As Raj was on a spaces earlier that I listened to, Golden State.
Also, reigning play title, on Golden
reigning,
State.
Reigning, I didn't have too many
wins, yeah. Oh, I don't know how many good teams he would play on. That's the thing. He's been solid. Don't get me wrong. He's been better than I thought he would be. But my question is, how great is it? More of just like, he's just not complete ass compared to, you know, what's, you know, behind him. So
I will also say, I think this version of Russ, even though he's been not as good as he started, I still think this version of Russ is still an NBA player.
For sure.
He's still a solid NBA player.
He's just obviously, when you're making $47 million, obviously you're just asking for more than just that. But
I think I agree with that point. Everyone else, I don't think is in a roster.
Well, so really quick on Troy Brown, he's a shooting guard masquerading as a wing, right? That's pretty much. I think he's a fine eighth man two guard. It's just he's a wing, but like the bar is so low, and you have like LeBron and AD. We just need guys who don't do dumb stuff. Like he goes to the rim, he rebounds well, he boxes out, he has some handle, he can take spot up threes and shoot off like the dribble. Like it's a low bar, but like, I mean, I think he would play on a lot of teams. He'd just be like their ninth man, not like our second most important wing.
He might get cut off the playoff rotation on a lot of teams. I think he plays for a decent amount of teams, a solid amount of teams.
No, that's true. And then you have a bunch of garbage with Kendrick Nunn, first and foremost.
That's a very strong word.
I think I've been polite, to be fair.
Just complete and utter ass, as Nels or as Nas likes to say. Just awful. He's literally unplayable. There was a game where he didn't play at all, received a technical, and then there's been two other games where he's played like 3 minutes. Like
it's like a negative 10
It's so bad. It's so bad. Patrick Beverley has played some decent defense, but even that sometimes spotty. His offense is awful.
Was Pat Beverley always this much of like an offensive?
Yes.
Where he feels like his light is the screen. I wasn't really watching him, I guess, in Minnesota, but he wasn't right?
He wasn't shooting off the dribble like floaters and stuff.
Why
is he running pick and roll as like the scorer? Like, why is he going like that's not Patrick Beverley, at least from what I remember, even from the Clippers days. Like, that's not who
I think he did it a lot more than us Laker fans want to think he did. It was just that usually when the Clippers brought in Paul George and Kawhi, it just kind of got masked a little bit.
Same with James Harden.
And then, when he was in Houston. But, like, when everyone on the Clippers went down, you know, that it was – or before they brought in Paul George and, you know, it was kind of like that youngish Lou team Williams. That mm-hmm. – yeah, with Lou Williams. Like, that's what they did. That's what they, I mean, that they were like given the green light.
Yeah. It's like the transition threes. Like those are super annoying. You know, they're like, I mean, 20 seconds on the shot clock. No one's down there to like offensive rebound. And he just is pulling like he's Klay Thompson, who's not shooting well either, but like he's pulling like he's Klay Thompson. It's weird.
I was not a proponent of that trade. Now, THT has not blossomed into the player that we thought he could be, which is unfortunate. So
it's also been 15 games. I mean, I
think meaning like he just didn't quite take the steps. He just got injured, and every time he seemed to get going, he got hurt again with the Lakers. So that one's, you know, I'll take that, you know, hit on the face for that one. But going after a guy like Pat Bev was, in my opinion, just going after a vet because you want to win right away. Problem is Pat Bev is not the guy who everyone has thought he is. And he's a guy also who has a extensive injury history at this point. Just not, and along with those injuries, you know, because I think he tore his ACL the final year is with the Clippers, if I believe correctly. His defense has been impacted. He hasn't been like a great on-ball defender, in my opinion, for a few years, it was more of like that off ball stuff. But like when people were trying to say like he would be, oh, he'd be out there defending the bigger wings. The dude's 6'1", maybe 6'2". Like you want him to defend big wings because he's pesky? You know,
and like, even at his best, he was only ever on guys like that for like two possessions.
Yeah, it wasn't. He was the primary defender on those guys. Like whenever you would see him, he would be on like a Chris Paul, on a Steph, on, you know, and at best, in my opinion, he would get them like a game, but he wouldn't get them like in a series type of thing, you know. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I will say to give Pabeb a little bit of leeway. Not, I mean, he doesn't serve that much, but he is having like a career worst shooting year from the three.
That's like everyone on the Lakers, though, except maybe Lonnie. I haven't checked his numbers lately. Yeah, but Pabeb's, you know,
it's like just... he's like 4-for-20 on catch and shoot threes or something. It's just an absurd number, and most of these are like wide open because teams are, you know, bailing out in the paint. I think his defense is like okay. We need him like defending bigger guys. It's not really fair to him. But yeah, he just can't be this much of a liability on offense, which is what we weren't sold as. It was supposed to be our catch and shoot 3-point shooter. 40% is what he sold, right? That's not what we've got.
Never believed that. He's not a shooter. I mean, that's just he's not. For some reason, he was billed as a guy that could shoot, and he's just not. It's not what he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he wasn't supposed to be like the worst shooter in the league, though, right? Like, that's not what he was supposed to be. Yeah,
no,
that's what he's been.
No, for sure. I had low expectations for him, but it's like it's the meme that's been going around of like Darvin Ham when he put up the clipboard. You know, we had low expectations, but damn, you know, like yeah, that's exactly how I felt honestly with a lot of these guys. So, yeah, rest of the roster, Matt Ryan, if it wasn't for the fact that the Lakers needed some dude to shoot, would still probably be delivering, you know, pizzas and whatnot. No. Wenyen Gabriel has been good for what he's being asked to do. He's really a guy that should be a third big as well. If Damian Jones wasn't such a I don't know with Damian Jones. Raj, can you explain that one to me? Because, like, I was trying to be higher on him because when he had the 10-day with us, what, 2 years ago? Like, he was solid.
He was, but yeah.
It looks like he just doesn't give a shit. Or is it just really me?
No. You're right. Really quick, Patrick Beverley is 6-for-26 right now on catch and shoot threes, which is just a disgusting number. No, Damian Jones, it's weird because he was on 10 days, right? So I think he lasted 2 10-days, I believe. Like, that was his tenure. So. And then the Sacramento Kings picked him up. No, he used to run the floor. He was like an athletic guy catching lobs. And now it feels like it takes him like 2 seconds to like gather his legs to like get up and dunk. And defensively, he's been horrid. They played him at center next to AD. They played him without AD. They played him, you know, in a bunch of different spots. And his just reaction time is bad. He's just not an NBA player right now, which is sad because we need it. We have AD playing 100% of his minutes at center, and Wenyen Gabriel's passed him up. I think Thomas Bryan is going to come in and take his minutes on Friday. So, yeah, it's been a fail. But again, a minimum signing. Like when you're churning these out, like the success and fail rate is not high. And Damian Jones is part of that to me.
He was also good with the Kings last year, too. It wasn't just that 10-day. Well, he was good with the Kings last year.
And then also, didn't he go to Atlanta for a little bit, and he was solid? Or was that before he went to – he got cut?
He went from Atlanta to Golden State to
– No, he went from Golden State to Atlanta.
Okay.
I just remember he had another team in there, and I couldn't remember if it was Atlanta before or after. Okay. I want to go into the part where you said the minimum contracts, and this is something that you've talked about extensively. This is something that honestly we have talked about extensively is the roster construction. It comes back to the front office of you have so many players on cheap deals that aren't really good. And there's a reason why they're getting cheap deals is because they're not very good. Now, on top of that, they have multiple guys that have bigger deals that aren't doing anything. Obviously, Russ has played better at the six man. He had a couple pretty really good games and then a couple not so great. I'm trying to be nice to him. Patrick Beverley has a pretty decent sized deal. I think it's at 12 million or something like that. He's been, in my opinion, just almost unplayable, other than, like, in my opinion, really, it's really the team defense that he's been good at. I don't think he's been really that great on ball defense. He got completely and utterly cooked by CJ McCollum. I don't know how many times. That said, CJ is going to do that to most people, but when Pat Bev is billed as, like, this, you know, on ball stopper, you can't have that happen to you like that.
There's no reason to play CJ McCollum that tight, though. He's not that athletic.
No.
Yeah, he can shoot, but you don't have to play up on him like he's John Morant or something.
This is why I've always said, like, Pat Bev isn't the guy who people think he is. He plays a pesky style defense. Doesn't necessarily mean it's always great defense. It's annoying, but it doesn't mean that it's actually great. What was the wooden quote that I've loved to use over the years of activity doesn't actually mean effectiveness or something along those lines? He may be looking active on the floor just because, you know, he's not running around in Timberlands in the sand, but, you know, it doesn't matter when you're not actually playing great defense. And then,
you know what it is about Pat Bev? Like, what I've realized, at least from my inclination, well, what we were sold, right, was like, yeah, you hate him when he's not on your team, right? Like, that was that was the sell. It was like, you hate Patrick Beverley if he's not on your team. But when he's on your team, you're supposed to love it. Yeah, I still, like, he does a lot of stuff where, like, he's playing good defense and he tries to, like, sell the ref when, like, he didn't need to. He was already in good position. Like, he would be, like, chasing a guy and then he'll, like, flop on a screen when he's already, like, in good defensive position and, like, scaring him at the ref, and the team makes the three, and then he'll get, like, a tech or something. Like, he does a lot of shit like that all game, and it's like, why? You're trying to create this mini tiny advantage by tricking a ref when you're already playing, you know, solid enough. Like, that's the type of stuff to me that annoys me about Pat Bev, at least just on, like, basketball-wise.
Yeah. No, and I don't understand that whole notion of, you know, you hate him when he's not on your team, but you love him just because guy is on my team doesn't mean that I have to love him at all. There's plenty of players that on my favorite teams that I fucking hated.
To me, that's someone like a prime Draymond Green. Where when he was at his best, yeah, he annoyed the shit out of you, but I bet if Draymond was a Laker when he was at his best, and I love Draymond, you know, for all his faults now, Draymond's one of my favorite players of all time. That at his peak, he was one of those guys. I think even Bev at his peak, I don't think he was one of those guys, because he wasn't just good at defense. He was just also very annoying. The way he acted, because he was part of that Clippers team that was very whiny to the refs as well. That Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, he's on that team, right? With Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre, or was it after?
No, he got traded for Chris Paul.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same sentiment.
He was with Doc and all those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So when I hear that, like, oh, you hate him when he's not on your team sort of sentiment, I think of, like, a Draymond before I think of someone like a prime Pat Bev.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We've talking about big contracts, Russ, Bev, and then Kendrick Nunn. He's not necessarily on a big contract, but it's big enough, being mid-level to, what, 5-something this year.
It's like the fifth or sixth biggest contract on the team, you know.
It's what behind him or in front of him would be Lonnie, would be Pat, would be LeBron and AD.
AD, LeBron, and Russ,
Mm-hmm. So I mean, he's like the fourth or sixth biggest contract on there, and he's completely unplayable. So yeah, kind of not good.
So the point where we had to be sent down to South Bay to practice.
Man,
I've never seen that before. Who has COVID? Who had COVID apparently for like a week, from what it sounds like. Unless that was a typo that I saw. Did you guys see that too? Where it said that he was sent to, or he under health and safety protocol since Thursday? Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I think that was a typo. Okay, from Nick Minimum. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was thinking, I'm like, how did he play 2 games since then? So But yeah, if that's good. But still, Max, who hasn't even been that good of an offensive player, he's just been a good defender, a solid defender, and a good rebounder. And that's why he's playing over Kendrick Nunn. That's all you have to do to be better than Kendrick Nunn is to
The bar is low, man. Like it's like go watch Max play. Like he just runs hard, he rebounds, he plays his position, he defends well, doesn't take stupid shots. Like that's the bar that we're kind of judging these dudes on. So yeah, it's cool to see Max play. But
that right there is the reason why whenever anyone starts bringing up like bringing on old vet players to play with LeBron and AD, I'm just like, no. That's not actually what is highly successful with him. You want young guys that are going to go out there and try and take smart shots and just be like, oh, I'm wide open. Let me take the shot. Mm-hmm. And like LeBron and AD aren't going to be mad if it's a good shot. Like, they'll be like, should you have made that? Yeah. But they're not going to like just completely like wave you off. You know, part of the reason why LeBron just continues to give the ball to Matt Ryan, it's because he is not afraid to shoot. That dude will shoot anything. I swear to God, but like, it's just, yeah. I mean, you have, I guess, Dennis Schroeder coming back. So you might be burying possibly Patrick Beverley and Kendrick Nunn even further on the depth chart. I don't know. Juan Toscano-Anderson, like, when JTA was signed on, he was kind of made out to be like a really, really great glue guy. And
connector.
It's kind of hard to do that when you don't have Steph, Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and co. You know, like it's just a bad course of building a roster. Like JTA, honestly, JTA has to play, even if he hasn't been very good and he's been hurt, just because he's like one of the only dudes at 6'6 or above.
Yeah, who has a big body and it can defend a little bit at least. I mean, we talked about this ad nauseum last year. How many times did we say, were we like, oh, wow, a lineup with Malik Monk, Austin Reeves, Stanley Johnson, and Wenyen and Gabriel with LeBron worked? Oh, what a surprise. I mean, we've said this since LeBron's been here. Yep. The young lineups have always worked with LeBron, even back to like going to like Caruso and Kuzma and KCP and like lineups like that, like, they always worked. Well,
before LeBron essentially tore his groin or hamstring back in what?
Christmas.
2019 Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. Or was it 2018? With Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball. They were like the second best team in the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm. So, I still say they're at worst a Western Conference Finals team if they stay healthy that year.
I agree.
At worst.
I agree. But like that's what works. Not bringing old vets in, not bringing old max guys in, just bringing in young guys. That's like why whenever like people are like, you got to bring in, you know, some of these names that we've seen around, obviously Miles Turner, Buddy Hield are at the top of the list. Raj, I know you are very tired of seeing their stats posted in your comments or in your quotes after a game. Like, guys, they're, I think 7-6 or 7-5 right now. Like, just wait, they're not going to be that great. Like, it's just, that's not what Indiana has been. So
I'm also willing to bet a lot of money they would not be doing that in Los Angeles. I don't care. There's something that happens with this team.
Yeah.
The vibes are off for whatever it is.
You can bring Steph to LA and he'll all of a sudden be
he'll shoot like 34% from three. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. But I mean, like at some point I eventually just for the people that are clamoring for that, want it to happen and then just see what happens, and if it fails, then I just get to have the final laugh.
I hate the Indiana deal, but I think like what we were just talking about, it kind of coincides because you have to find a way to get non-minimum guys into your, like, to me the biggest like flaw, there's a lot on the Russ deal, but this doesn't get talked about at all. Number one, we threw in three mid-sized contracts, right? And so that means you lose that salary spot. Like we threw in Montrezl Harrell, and I think all four of us here, Montrezl Harrell is a pretty replaceable big, right? Like it's a pretty replaceable big, but his salary slot isn't. That's a $10 million salary spot that you just let go under, you know, under how salary cap works. Like you just don't get that back, If Russ just people saying let Russ just expire, you don't just get those deals back. It's why teams have to like maneuver over the cap. And to me, that was the biggest flaw in that. You threw in Kuz, KCP, and Trez, three guys who were making
and you gave up a first pick. And you gave a first round pick for something that you didn't need to do. You did not need to do that.
Yeah. So like I that's to me the flaw in this is why I'm for a Turner heel, just not even for their talent, because I don't think there's a move out there that wins you a title this season. But like, let's get guys in who are, you know, non-minimum deal. Let's get guys in who can at least build towards something, right?
Well, the thing is, Turner's a free agent.
Yeah, that's the thing I keep coming back to is that Turner's a free agent after the year. Buddy Hield's a free agent after next year. And while you could extend Turner, I don't know if that's necessarily the move I want to do. And
especially the money he probably wants upwards of $22 million a year.
Oh yeah, he's gonna want 25.
That is not ridiculous. That's what he thinks he is. And I think that's what he could get.
He wants like $1 million per game they play.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you, man.
That's also another thing. Miles doesn't play a ton. He plays, I think, less games per season than AD does. And we always have to hear that AD is glass man. So,
but Clay, Merge, what's so I understand you don't want to pay Miles Turner $20 million. No one does. Mm-hmm. But your alternative, so this is your alternative. You don't make a trade. Russ expires, you overpay one free agent that you're going to have to if you're paying through cap space.
I totally get everything you're saying. I'm not saying to just let Russ expire. That's not what I'm saying.
There's other avenues I think that we think could happen, but we're not fully confident in Pelinka really doing any deal really at this point. He doesn't want to get the Patriots want to first. They're not going to budge because they know Pelinka isn't going to be savvy in any other way and do something else with it in terms of like adjusting the deal. But I think if he is going to trade, there's better deals out there. I mean, I know Clayton has beat this drum many a time, but the Charlotte deal, there's a lot better things out there that you can go for in terms of just talent, in terms of just like guys who can fit better. If you want to try to make some sort of a push this year, like I said, Miles Turner gets hurt a lot. There's something that happens with shooters when they come to Los Angeles. Let me remind you of Reggie Bullock before he came to the Lakers was shooting like over 40% on like a really good clip. Shot like 31% when he came to the Lakers when we traded Svi and a second rounder for him. I think it was. I would rather like, especially with the build of this team in terms of coaching staff and eye of the scouts, I'd rather go for a Charlotte deal that can give you a young guy like a PJ Washington, like a James Booknight who doesn't play and has some issues in terms of like, what did he get pulled? Like a DUI, was it?
DUI, yeah.
And I'd rather take a shot on that guys like that because I know that this coaching staff is built for player development and these scouts are the best in the league.
And let me go back to like Miles Turner. Mm-hmm. He's played 8 games this year, which is he's already missed games, by the way. 42 last year.
He fell on a ball boy's foot, by the way.
Okay. I mean,
I agree with you. That's
very quick side note. You guys see LaMelo Ball get hurt by a fan? He rolled on a fan's ankle.
Man. Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, man.
42 last year, 47 the year before, 62, 74, 65, 81. Like he doesn't play a ton of games. It's, you know, the last 2 years, 42 and 47. You know, that's not great. And I totally agree. If you have to replace the salary somehow, because with LeBron's contract, with AD's contract and everything, you're not going to have the cap space. Like, and you need those salary slots. As you said, I totally agree with that. Are you signing Miles Turner to an extension? Because if he's a free agent at the end of the year, then that goes away. And then you can't sign anyone. Because
I wouldn't trade for him without an extension for sure. Most definitely,
you have Buddy Hield after that, and then
nothing.
Nothing. I mean,
LeBron retires.
You'll have a mid level again, but like, I mean, unless like Lonnie is like, you know what? Yeah, I'll take a cheap deal and then let you get my bird rights and then sign that extension, you know, that we were talking about before.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much I think that's smart, you know, and I understand like everyone's going to say, as you said, Raj, you have to make in order to make that deal, you have to be able to get an extension. Can he sign an extension right now? I honestly have no idea.
I don't think so, but I think there's like a, you know, most people
under the table type thing. And that's fine and dandy, but like if he gets hurt, then you're not giving him that deal.
I'm not disagreeing with you there, but yeah. Like here's my point only on this. One, number one, Miles Turner is 26 years old. So there's
he came
into the league at 19. Yeah, no, incredibly young.
So there's at least a little bit of like, okay, you're not trading for a 34-year-old guy, right? And paying him.
He'll be 27 in March, by the way.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the other thing to me is that like you're trading an albatross contract, yeah. Right? Like mm-hmm. So anybody trading for Russ is not trading for the talent. Which means you're trading to teams that have no use for free agent or for cap space, right? Like that. Mm-hmm. So your pickings are slim. We're, like even if you go get Doug McDermott or whoever from San Antonio,
I would much rather do the Indiana trade and give up the picks unprotected than to do that right. San Antonio deal.
No, for sure. But then go look at what Gordon Hayward games played the last few years, right? Like
I know. This,
like, you know what I mean? Like, so there's no mm-hmm. perfect deal out there.
No, for sure.
My only thing is like, let's build something. Like I'm tired of like, it's LeBron AD and like 12 new dudes. Like
we're right there.
There's a collision course here with this team. And I think it's very obvious.
What do you mean?
I think after this season, there's two players the Lakers are going to sign because they won't be worth the money and they'll be willing to take a discount. And it's going to be Kyrie Irving and Draymond Green. Draymond has the clutch connection. Kyrie Irving is very on the down low right now. And I know LeBron still wants Kyrie. We've seen the tweet.
Draymond's not turning down that player option, though. I mean, that player option is like $29 million, and that's not close to his market.
It's clutch. They can work something. That's all I always say when it comes to a clutch player. There's always something that they can work.
No,
I'm not gonna say a fact because obviously I don't know for a fact. But with this team and what I think they want and what they want to try to build in terms of what Pelinka thinks, Kyrie and Draymond fit that bill to a T, and it'll be an utter chaos, and it'll be a glorious downfall, but I'm willing to bet that is their plan going into this offseason.
That was the plan last offseason. I mean, the plan was Kyrie Irving. I mean, there was no confusion about that. And
he's gonna be he's gonna be worth less 100% this offseason.
Way less. Yeah.
I don't care what he does. I don't care what he does the rest of this season when he comes back this Sunday. That whole thing is gonna be on.
We don't have to get into specifics, but I think that rules him out to me. Like I don't know. Like I think the Kyrie Irving
talk out Rob Pelinka. Okay.
I meant in a league. Like to me, I think we both agree. I think this Nets thing is gonna go down in flames. Like I think.
Oh yes, 100%.
Kevin Durant was calling out players yesterday.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that, by the way? Have you ever seen a star
player
named Nate?
Are you sure that was that real? Because I didn't.
That was real.
It was a Bleacher Report article.
That was Yahoo, Chris Haynes.
Okay, because I was going to say, I went and saw that on like an Instagram meme page. And so I was like, oh, did everyone get got? I didn't see the original source. That is incredible. I think that could be the way that happens too. And then if you trade for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, you use Hield and something to trade for Dre, and then you Kyrie's his own dude. We already heard, you know, in the offseason that he could possibly, you know, look to sign an MLE.
Yeah,
I don't think so either. But I mean, who knows? That dude runs to his own tune, we'll go.
And the market will be slim for Kyrie.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just saying. I'm sure that, and even if I've seen some say, I mean, we've even had people say it in the DMs, the Buss family's Jewish. I still think they're willing to stoop that low. I'm not very high on the what Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss are thinking about doing right now. So that's where I am at this point, where they could be willing to sign Kyrie Irving, especially. I don't think LeBron sends that tweet out if he knows the Lakers do not want Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
All
right. Back to the Indiana thing. Because I do wanna talk about that. AD has, Raj, you would know better than this than me. Uh-huh. AD has played what, 100% of his minutes at the five this year?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So then you're bringing in another five, and you're moving. You're taking AD now to the four, which he's not moving as well as he did in, you know, the bubble and everything.
That's not a perfect fit. Yeah.
No. And then also Buddy Hield is essentially a two in the size of a bigger one body. I'm not going to say like it's, as you said, there's no perfect outcome. You know, even my desire for like the Charlotte deal,
and that's us loving young players, really.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, I don't give a shit about Gordon Hayward. It's salary ballast for Russ, and then there was the report today that they are looking to possibly move PJ Washington, or they're open to it.
That's a restricted free agent, which is a lot easier to retain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's my thing of PJ would be a really good fit next to LeBron and AD. Bigger wing, can shoot, can handle a bit, can defend. And
still 22.
Yeah. That's where my whole thing comes onto that. Not that Hayward is going to be some savior. I mean, he's probably played less games than Miles Turner. I'll even look that up. But that's and I know like Nelson and I were talking about that afterwards, and he loves to make fun of me for that one. My thing isn't exclusively 49 and 44. So he's played he's played two games more than Miles Turner the last 2 years. And then that's what it comes down to for me, is getting those young guys, because like, you know, then you'll have another year of Gordon Hayward. You have a $30 million salary ballast. Maybe you can do something like that again. And Nelson has rejoined us. So,
and he's not driving.
nice and safe, Nelson. Good to see. But yeah, I was saying before Nelson, it's not, I've zeroed in on Charlotte just because like it does make sense. They kind of need a veteran leader. They don't really seem to have that. If Russ can go there and be Russ, you know, LaMelo possibly being hurt again, he could help unlock James Bouknight, Jordan Brand athlete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it kind of sells itself. And it's a destination where you can see him re-signing with as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And they wanted to get rid of Miles Plumlee. That's a solid backup big. You know, it's not that like that's the only deal I would make. That's not it. My point is who can you get? And as I said on the previous podcast that will never now be released, I have like three criteria for this deal. It needs to help out long term somehow.
Okay.
Somehow. It needs to somehow not necessarily fix the roster completely, but it needs to make the roster make more sense. Right. And then on top of that, like it's just getting out of Russ. So like getting out of Russ needs to help long-term and needs to make the roster make some sense. Not like that's my thing of with like Miles Turner, he's a five, AD's exclusively playing five. You're going to play two twin towers, two guys that get hurt quite often as well. And then Buddy Hield, who is a 6'3", 2. So, and yes, don't get me wrong, he can shoot, but his defense is barely above the level of Matt Ryan at times.
Yeah.
And when it comes to that that Charlotte deal, that does meet the, like, Hayward, even on paper, he fits this team a lot better than a lot of other players we've seen linked to the team. And PJ Washington fits the long-term criteria.
Yeah.
If
you want to say Miles Turner fits a long-term criteria, and then you have AD and Miles as your 4 and 5, I don't know if you're going to get AD to be able to slim down and move a little bit better now.
This guy's dropping and adding weight like every offseason. Like, you need to have him on one consistent schedule at a certain point. And it'll probably add to his injury potential, slimming down again, you know, and then potentially going bulking back up again. It just at a certain point, you just need AD to be set in a role where he's very, very comfortable with, in terms of his body at least. And I don't know. I think there's better fits when it comes to big men. And not only is Miles Turner a big man next to AD, he's a big man that needs to play 35 minutes a night.
Yeah, no, it definitely pigeonholes you into a style. That's why I didn't like it perfectly when it was reported at the time. On Gordon Hayward, though, I mean, there's a reason he got 4 years, 120. Like, there was a reason that deal was on the table. It's because he's a two-way wing when he's right. It's just, and now there's a reason he's on the table as well, right? Like, that he could be moved. So, like, again, I don't think there's a perfect, like, deal. I just saying, like, I want, like, salary spot dudes that we can kind of build with. I've already kind of had the ship sail on, like, a title this year, like, or whatever, contention, right? Like, ship has sailed. Like, let's build, our free agency conversation that we're having, let's say Kyrie or Draymond or whatever, that means that you let go of every single other person on the roster currently. That includes Lonnie Walker, that includes Austin Reeves, that includes whoever the hell they find. And I feel like we're just like, what did we get out of last year? Austin Reeves.
You wasted a year for Austin Reeves, who is a fine NBA, NBA player, but like, that season wasn't worth Austin Reeves.
And that should also be like your third or fourth best. Like, oh, look at what we found. So this is an undrafted guy that we picked up off the scrap heap, you know? Like,
right, but like, you look at Philly, they got a Tyrese Maxey, right? You look at the Warriors, they have a Jordan Poole. Like, these are players you can get when you have a system where you
both
keep
late
players.
First, by the way, both late first round picks.
Exactly. And THT was supposed to be in that vein. And I think all of us kind of agree, we did everything wrong in the THT 100%. Step place. But whether that made the difference to where THT is a star or not is not the point. It's that our process to get him to wherever he needs to go was terrible. We played him next to Russ all of last year. Mm-hmm. That we played in Russ every single minute was next to Russ
and
LeBron James.
When he didn't play with Russ, he looked
good. Played LeBron. Yeah. Or like
they look good.
And like, he kicked our ass this year when we played him. So like, there's a system to where like, we're just not developing and we're just wasting years. And we're gonna give our draft pick our better draft pick away this year.
Since Magic's last year with the Zubac trade, cutting Thomas Bryant, letting what was that guy's name? Oh yeah, he was on the G League team, and then we picked him up.
Nawaba.
It's little things. Letting Caruso walk for nothing, only paying THT only for 2 years as a second round pick. I mean, not trading Julius Randle,
which they just did with Max Christie as well,
and Austin Reeves. We did the same with Austin Reeves as well. So I mean, there's so many little things at this point. Just imagine if we don't do any of those things, even if they're not on the team. You could have had those guys as salary filler.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you're wanting to do all these big trades. You want to get a Bradley Beal, even though I'm not on that train. But like, a guy like that, and that's like, that was a rumor, like they really want Bradley Beal. If you want to get
not getting Bradley Beal.
No, I'm using Bradley Beal as a placeholder.
No, I know. I've just seen it around too. And like, I know Twitter is dying right now and people are just wanting to put anything out there. But like, good Lord, people, there's no way.
But if you want a player like that with that big of a contract, you need a Zubac. You need an Alex Caruso. You need a Julius Randle, a Kyle Kuzma. Like, you need contracts like that. Not this current iteration of Julius in terms of his contract, but like, he would have gotten like, what, 10 to 15 mil on that year before LeBron came?
Let him go. Essentially, it was essentially a trade for Rondo at that point. By the way, real quick, I brought up Max Christie, former five-star recruits, and boy, can I tell you how much I love five-star recruits. McDonald's All-American. Yeah. So, like, honestly, it's not that surprising that he's starting to turn it on for me. But, yeah. He's looked good, Nelson. Like, he's looked good.
No, it's just your phrasing, bro. You gotta pause. I mean,
phrasing.
He's turning on for you. That's kind of.
Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
Hey, we are trying to be open to everyone. Okay.
Look. I do think that, like, on the conversation of Rob, he's getting a lot of stick right now for the roster, and I get it. But given, okay, so he clearly made a mistake with
Don't you fucking do this to me. Okay. I will boot you.
The Westbrook trade is a mistake, right? F grades, like, bad. I was on it, just bad, the whole entire way, just bad. Don't do it. He couldn't help himself. Since then,
that was a LeBron deal.
I hope not. I really hope it wasn't.
It was a LeBron deal. He had Pelinka had the Buddy Hield deal. It was Kuzma and Trez for Buddy Hield. That's what it was.
And it was just LeBron.
It was just those two, not the first round pick and not KCP. Just those two.
Can you imagine what that could have gotten you? A first round pick and KCP? Like, seriously, that could have gotten you something, like, serious.
Yeah, he was a throw-in in the Russ deal. Just
but my bigger point is, okay, last offseason was just bad overall. This offseason, though, pretty good, I'd say, given the fact that he had a pretty weak hand that he dealt himself,
mm-hmm.
but a pretty decent offseason. I mean, to come out with Troy Brown, who's, like, at least, like, a pretty solid rotation player on average team, drafted Christie, pretty good, although, you know, most of the credit doesn't go –
That goes to Jesse.
Lonnie Walker, the guy. He scattered him. I think Thomas Bryant's going to turn into something. I believe
I've believed in Thomas Bryant. I believe. Do you guys remember when he was drafted and I was so in on him? The only reason why
Clayton is because you saw him at an open workout shoot the arms.
It was the wingspan, yeah. and it you showed some athletic ability. He still had a hard time side to side. No,
he was good that first year with South Bay. He was actually good.
He was. No, my thing is the injuries. I worry I've taken a toll too much on him. Probably. That's my thing. So I will wait on that one. I will wait on Schroeder. Damian Jones was bad signing already.
Yep.
But to be fair to him, at the time, given all that he knew, it was a good signing at the time, right? It was a decent signing, right? Given the minimum contract guy, like, it was a decent flyer. So, like,
then THT and Stanley Johnson, they didn't have to.
Stanley move was bad. The Stanley inclusion was really bad. I mean, already trading THT for an expiring Bev is bad.
I mean, THT is expiring after this year as well, I believe. So doesn't really honestly matter that much. But for Pat Bev, that was a bad move. So it's like break even at best, in my opinion.
I guess so. It's not as bad as, like, a lot of people have made it out on
well, the thing is, it's like the last, like, the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, yeah, it wasn't that bad, but everything since he's taken over, like I just listed, with all the little tiny things that he did with young players and not getting enough, not getting anything out of players in terms of assets or whatever. This nothing off season. Decent offseason, along with the fact that Russ didn't get traded, it just kind of makes everything just look so much worse, especially with everything we've heard about the cheapness of the front office, the cheapness of Genie. Pelinka has never really been qualified for this job. It was purely off the fact that he knew Kobe and he was Kobe's
agent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you have Kurt Rambis.
We wanted to give credit after winning in the bubble, but, like, that I think was just unfounded. I do want to say one thing about the bubble championship. It is so funny when people call it the Mickey Mouse championship. Oh, Y'all fucks couldn't fucking win either.
So, I will defend that championship until the day I die. That is as real as any other championship, if not more real. The best basketball ever was being played in that bubble.
That was hysterical. That was hysterical when people ever do that. I'm just like, then while y'all didn't fucking win.
But, Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray were dropping 50 points each in games. And you're saying that was an easy... No.
Yeah, but no, my thing...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, my thing is just really like... When I think it was the Bucks won it and the Suns made it to the finals, I thought that was way more
fraudulent.
Yeah,
Everyone was hurt. AD got hurt. I swear to God, still, I will never forgive LeBron and AD for that feel them out game one. I will never forgive them for that shit. Awful.
That's like Clayton's biggest pet peeve. That is game where AD wasn't grabbing rebounds. Like, those are the two things I remember.
One of those was in the bubble, and he had zero rebounds in like three and a half quarters. And
that Rockets series flipping out.
I'm just like, how are you not grabbing any rebounds? You know, like
PJ Tucker's the center.
Yeah, six. What are they doing? Yeah,
but you go look at that title team though. Like if. It's sold as this like brand new squad, right? That was put together in 2020 and then came together and won the title. But that's not really the case. Starting center JaVale McGee was there the year before. KCP's been there, I believe, 2 years before that season. Kyle Kuzma was there 2 years before, I believe, that season. Alex Crusoe was there a couple years before that season. Like that team up and down was not LeBron, obviously, the only new thing
was Danny Green.
Rondo.
Rondo was
there the year before, right?
So, and that was the first year with AD. So like that was
right.
That was it. It was AD, Rondo. No, Rondo was the year before. So it was AD Danny Green. But that was it. That was it. Everything else was pretty much
Like Markieff Morris, who became a big part and we signed in the middle of the season.
He was a good buyout guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So teams aren't
like maybe the best buyout guy ever. Like in the argument for the best buyout signing maybe
of all time, it was
great. Yeah, buyout guys suck.
Rob gets credit for that.
They generally do. I agree. He got credit. He gets credit for that, but then immediately shitting the bed all over the place afterwards.
They never should have shook the team up. They should have ran it back. Yeah.
But that summer, we agreed with most of those moves, all right? Like getting Marcus
Dwight, by the way, was a
that was a new one, yeah. But getting Marcus Gasol, like I think that was the correct move. Trading for Dennis Schroeder, like I think that was fine. Like most people
that one made sense because it'll haunt me because
of Desmond Bane. It'll always haunt me because of Desmond Bane.
Dennis
Schroeder was like really good at that time. I understand.
Two years ago when he was on the team, Schroeder was – I get so tired of hearing about how he wasn't good. If it wasn't for Schroeder and how good he was – Antrez, I will give Trez his roses even though I've been a hater for years. If it wasn't for those two, they would not have even made the playoffs.
No chance.
They wouldn't have.
They were like 8-10 or something at that time. And that's really good.
Yeah.
We had the number one defense that year. LeBron and AD played 20-something games. And like
it was insane. Without Schroeder, that wouldn't have happened. They would not have been in that spot to do. And everyone just likes to say that he was just complete garbage. That dude has flaws. Don't get me wrong, like major flaws. He sometimes pauses right before he decides to make a decision, and then sometimes he moves too fast. He's sometimes too small for people. Like there's issues with him for sure.
He never should have started, in my opinion. I still think he should have started. I don't think he's a starting point guard in this league, Dennis. Even at that point,
I think it was who was going to play over him.
Caruso.
Caruso should have just been the two.
That's true. KCP
was on that team.
KCP was on the
team. Okay, you're right. Okay, but I mean, at that point, like
we needed ball handling.
Yeah, so. You needed ball handling.
Oh yeah,
LeBron didn't want to be the point guard again. So I mean,
that's LeBron was out. LeBron got out in January. Solomon Hill fell into his knee, so he was gone.
Yeah, damn Solomon Hill.
No, I mean, but I'm meaning for the purpose of trading for him. That for part. Sure. But yeah. I understand.
I understand giving Rob some credit. Like, I fully get that, but his negatives way outweigh the positives, in my opinion. Just over time.
I just think, to be fair, also, he has to deal with LeBron as the co-GM.
That's true.
Which is tricky. And Rambis, he doesn't really have a choice on Rambis. You know, like, I mean, I guess, like, he could just, but because, like, him and that's like a genie hire there. I think Rob Pelinka is like a, I think he's an average GM. I don't think he's, like, really bad. I also don't think he's really good. I think he's, I think he, him as himself, like, if he was from the Pacers, he'd be an average GM. I think
Clayton, what was that reaction, Clayton? I just saw your eyes light up.
Like, he's an just average
GM? This fucker throws in a first-round pick on every fucking deal. What are we talking about?
He's okay. In the bottom third.
He threw a first-round pick in for Schroeder, which is, I get it. But then he threw a first-round pick in for Russell Westbrook, too. What are we doing? We're throwing in all the assets. He doesn't know how to do assets. You're the fucking GM. You have to sign your second round picks to 3 or 4 year deals at minimum.
He's both, like, essentially.
He fucks every contract up. What are we talking about? Good.
If he was like the president of basketball operations and he had like a, like, not this guy, but like Masai Ujiri next to him, then maybe.
If anyone had a Masai Ujiri next to them,
they'd or even like an R.C. Buford, or who's the Warriors GM?
Myers,
yeah.
I do think his willingness to throw the first round pick is probably more. He should probably value first round picks more. But like, I mean, he has flaws. No, don't get me wrong. He's by no means a perfect GM. He is. Like you said, he's flawed when it comes to contracts.
He's bottom flawed eight
when it comes to picks. But I think when it comes to like doing some cap stuff, finding some
bottom eight.
Which is why I think he needs to be paired with someone else. Like he should be both.
He's a bottom eight GM.
No.
At the very worst, to be nice to him, as much as I can. He just wasn't ready for it from the very beginning. He should have been in the front office in some capacity to start with, maybe for 5 years, for sure. 10 years. For
sure. Yeah.
Then maybe at that point he learns it better. But
he comes from an era of like the early 2010s, like those like, you know, a little bit older, where the personal picks weren't valued too much. So I mean, it's kind of not really a surprise to see him do that. But like, yeah, I don't know. I think he's like. He's not the problem. I don't think. I don't think he's like the problem. I think he's caused some of the problems, but he's kind of like fixed enough for them to where like I feel like it's more on Rambis and kind of like
LeBron. Genie. I can understand him being like the third worst of the three, but like those two are like they're like the two of the worst in the whole league at what they do.
Right.
So it's a low bar.
We won't know what Pelinka would have done if LeBron wasn't there saying. That he wanted the Westbrook trade. He probably would have done the Buddy Hield trade. And then so then we wouldn't be here. We would be probably
you're the fucking GM. You make the deal that says.
Oh
that
come
you
on.
Say,
it's not that easy when you have LeBron.
You take the good
when it comes to clutch, but you also deal with the bad.
Oh my god.
That's how it goes. That's how it's
always Russ doesn't even fucking clutch.
No, I know.
Yeah, but it was
what clutch wants.
Clutch
what
Jason.
Clutch wants.
Clutch Jason.
What LeBron wants.
Please.
Come on.
Like, I just
how it works.
No, you essentially tell him like no. I mean, I don't give a shit if you have to have a fucking 100 slide PowerPoint. I don't give a shit. You have to do something to say like no, this is not the move to make. That's your job. That's literally your job.
LeBron's not on your team. Then LeBron's not on your team. Like
he was under contract. Fuck out of here. I'm sorry, Raj. Like not to curse at you, but like he's under contract.
He's I just mean like
contract. Tell him to fucking request a trade. He's not gonna fucking do that. He wants to be in LA. He just signed an extension with one of the fucking worst teams in the NBA. Don't kid your guys' self if you really think he was gonna leave. He's not going to leave right now. He's not gonna pull a KD. He just signed an extension. What are you talking about?
I'm saying
didn't even fucking trade Russ. Are you serious?
Oh, man,
they're in bed already, Clay. Like that, like you know what I mean. Like that, like they're in bed with an agency.
Exactly, like, and he still signed the extension. He still signed the extension.
Right,
he was not going anywhere
because LeBron was probably like, we can't trade Russ. So what's he gonna do? You know,
and exactly. Also, what was he gonna do anyways? He was still on a contract for 2+ years.
He probably would have not.
Honestly, he wouldn't have fucking done anything. He would have probably bitched like he usually does. Dude, he's not going to fucking do it. Are you fucking serious?
Hold on.
Get the hell out of here.
Hold on.
This is like.
Let's talk.
This is the Clutch Cartel. First of all, the notorious Clutch Cartel that do all these shady.
That the Lakers have fucking pandered to since KCP first signed. LeBron is the one-year $18 million deal.
Right? Lonnie's LeBron's the reason why Lonnie is here, correct? So when someone wields so much influence no one else in an organization, where almost half the roster is like under this guy's agency, who controls all this stuff, LeBron honestly would sat out. He would have been like, you know what? I told him to do this. You know what I mean? And
LeBron was going to sit out.
He would have sat out.
Fuck out of here. There's no fucking way. There's no fucking way he was going to sign.
What are the Lakers going to do?
He's not going to fucking sit out. That dude wants to break every record. Are you serious?
He won't resign then. He won't resign. We know how petty LeBron is. Look at the Cavs. Look at him and the Cavs owner, Dan Gilbert. Look at it. Study it and you will see it there. LeBron is petty.
He had two fucking years. And if they were good last year, like, and in the playoffs, you really think it would have been like, yeah, you know what? Fuck Buddy Hield. We should have traded for Russ, especially if Russ was ass again.
Okay, this is one of my favorite Clayton and Nelson argument I've ever witnessed.
God.
Russ was not bad with the Wizards. He
was fucking awful.
He was good.
Are you kidding me?
You just flipped. He was all right.
Yeah, I know. He was all right.
He was bad for all of the entire season except for like 1 month. It was the traditional. He starts on fire, is complete and utter not an NBA player for months, and then he fucking balls out in like the last.
He was the reason why they made the playoffs. Beal got hurt in the last 2 months of the season. Definitely made the playoffs.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was fucking ass for half of the season. For half of the fucking season.
Okay, so for half the season, he was really good. He was typical Russ, right? We could say that. He was typical Russ. Still looked like he had that.
If you really fucking need to, pull up and sit LeBron down and be like, hey, let's watch that Houston Rockets series that we played against them in the bubble.
Okay.
Where literally no one had to defend him.
I'm just saying, if LeBron comes to me and I'm like, we have to do this Buddy trade, it's clearly the easiest choice. And LeBron is like, nah, I want to do the Westbrook trade. You don't argue with LeBron. You don't argue with your star, the guy who brought the chip here. And
Kuminga also doesn't have the clout. Kuminga doesn't have the clout of someone.
We forget these guys don't have spines.
No. And Kuminga isn't Masai Ujiri. A Masai Ujiri could have said no. But Masai is also the best GM in sport in basketball,
NBA right now, I'm sorry, I don't like the whole LeBron would have sat out.
Holy moly,
I'm sorry,
LeBron would have for sure threatened to sit out threatened not to resign.
Please,
he probably would. He definitely would have resigned.
He had 2 fucking years left.
Okay, that's fine.
And what? So what?
You have the project. Buddy Hield isn't going to win
the title. Then you say, we'll sign him after he's a free agent, and let's see how it goes.
I mean, Russ?
I mean, LeBron's contract extension doesn't even go into effect until after next season.
Right.
So he had 3 years on his contract left.
I mean, if you want to...
3 years left. He had 3 years left.
If you want to try to strong arm LeBron, that's fine, Clayton. That's fine. I understand.
I understand. I also understand. No one else wants to do that. I know all LeBron fans would also be like, "No, you're not gonna. You don't do that." But like, I'm just sorry.
It matters.
He doesn't have a relationship right now.
Clayton, you want to know where this ranks? You want to know where this ranks for me in terms of Clayton and Nelson arguments?
When Nelson tried to say that Ben Ingram or Brandon Ingram was rated over Ben Simmons now, so then he could try and talk his way into Ben Simmons.
I need to find
Lakers.
That podcast.
Look at that now. Look, who
is somewhere in the ether? That podcast is in the ether somewhere. Yeah, I need to find it.
Okay, you know what? I got one wrong.
Shout out to Ivan Rapp, by the way.
This is the same. This is the same place that ruined Markel Fultz. Okay, so it's not like he was in La La Land. Okay, it was a bad fit with him and Joel. I told you He should have strong-armed himself into the Lakers. If he would have been in the Lakers, this would have never happened.
Nelson, you remember the Ivan Rabb argument? Remember that?
That's great. Yeah, the Ivan Rabb argument. Wasn't it like Ivan Rabb, like Jaylen Brown at some point? What it was?
Yeah. I had Jaylen as my third really prospect.
Bad. Although my Jamal Murray takes stance to this day.
It kind of does.
No, it does. No, it for sure does.
I still don't think he's all that amazing. I'm not a big Jamal guy still.
I mean,
I never would have given him that max contract.
As long as we're stating stuff, Clayton can attest to this. I've been a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander guy from the first moment I watched him play at Kentucky. I DM'd Clayton, and he was like, I don't know.
But after, like, once it came down to like hard time, like hardcore draft time, I was totally on board with Merge on that one. After the first game, though, I was just like, he looked good, but I don't know quite yet. But
I watched 1 half of that game. I'm like, yep, Shai, that's my guy. All right.
All right, Raj, you just got to sit through an epic Clayton and Nelson. I'm sorry for that.
My voice somehow went back to when I was 15.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the old. I'm listening to old. Before Lakers Pulse.
Backdoor cut.
Oh man, Raj, I'm gonna send you some videos.
I mean, things still is like, you know, LeBron likes that. I mean, Clayton likes acting this tough guy.
I totally understand what you're saying, but your job as a GM is literally to build a better team. And if you cannot convince your star that this deal is fucking stupid, you're a fucking terrible GM.
I'm just saying, and it wasn't even just LeBron. It was AD and LeBron. They were both sold on it.
Was not.
They went to Russ's house and sat with him personally.
AD was not in on that trade.
There is very little that you can do to convince.
AD was not in on that trade, bro. I'm telling you.
Clayton, you want to know how long ago the first backdoor episode was?
6 years ago. 2016. Dude, I remember the first ever episode too. I remember that. But yeah.
Nelson, Jamie, and I.
But yeah, no, I understand again, but like again, your job as the GM is to say this is the better move. One, you keep KCP, you keep your first round pick, and you're getting an elite shooter. Like, you're keeping defense, you're adding a young guy, and you're adding bringing in an elite shooter with KCP. You know, I think I already said that, but like, if you can't do that, then you're a fuck up as a GM. If you can't understand that, like, seriously, it's just terrible. I mean, like, we literally have documentation of Russ essentially saying, I don't want to play your type of basketball. I want to play my way, and I don't care if it wins or not, before he went to Washington.
That's not what he said opening night,
but everyone's going to fucking try and bow down to fucking hometown fans, man.
He said that,
and then every single action afterwards, that dude's a fucking liar.
That's probably not what he told LeBron when, like, they had their little meeting.
I'm sure. But I mean, LeBron also has championed for, you know, like, Shabazz Napier as the best point guard in his draft.
Oh, for sure.
And then he left.
LeBron is not the best.
Then he left.
Yeah. I love that so much. I really hope LeBron doesn't try to be like the GM whenever he buys a team. I mean, he better not try to the Michael Jordan Nick.
He will though. God. He will.
Yep.
Can't wait for that.
All right. Sorry, that was a lot of yelling, and I think we probably honestly gone. I think we've gone about an hour and a half now. We were wrapping up, and then Nelson and I went off. So
spicy noodles.
Brought the spice. Thank you. another epic Nelson and Clayton.
I'm gonna be listening to old Bachelor Cup podcasts all day at work tomorrow. It's gonna be great.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
The only reason Merge right. even joined this whole podcast thing was because of us, Clayton. We inspired him.
This is true. all right. Nelson, did you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean we probably shouldn't have traded for Russ. We can agree on that.
Shocker.
And, the agree on that. And honestly, like, the future's pretty gloom. It's not great. Not looking great. I still do have hope, though. This is going to be a big
hit. Oh, Palinka. Shit. Real quick. Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Do we all just want to, like, laugh really quick at Bill Simmons for his bullshit of the Lakers are open to trading Anthony Davis? Do we just all want to, like, openly laugh at him right now?
Oh,
like, I found that absolutely hysterical. They're not trading Anthony.
Did anyone see that video of that TikTok of him on the timeline, talking about the Celtics? It was really weird. I not stop laughing at it. It was so funny.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug, man.
Oh, man.
$250 million by Spotify right there. Spotify, buys lots of bricks. Lots of bricks. Anyways. Nelson, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Did you have any final things to say?
Yeah, no, I honestly don't know where the Lakers pivot to. I think it's going to be a big offseason for Rob Pelinka. I think this is probably going to be like the determining one about whether he's good or not. I think we'll officially know because he has to make smart signings within that $5 to $10 million range. In my opinion, I don't think that going after one star is the answer. I think just sort of like touching on like what we talked about before, like trying to get maybe like three guys around that $8-10 million range is probably going to be their best bet. The hit rate at that price point is just a lot higher than it is at the minimum contract, and you have assets and stuff. So we'll see who's able to find out. He has some more money to play around with. But not having their picks for a while is going to hurt. It's going to hurt. I think Clay made a good point about how the Lakers really need some youth. And, the hit rate with second-round guys is also not fantastic. We're playing around.
It's more so undrafted. We have a better success rate than second-round, I feel like, at this point.
Right, yeah. And it's
I am feeling pretty good about Max Christie. I will say
I am
that.
Too.
Me too.
No, yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. And the Lakers scouting department is good. The second-rounder will always be decent. It doesn't matter who it is. Or if we don't have a second-round pick, then a guy like Austin Reeves will hit.
Yep.
But I just think, like, that's one guy, maybe two. Honestly – there's going to come a time where it's zero. We just get nothing from those slots, and I don't know. It's just there's not much to play around with, so like we'll see. But yeah, I'm just glad that Russ isn't starting and playing really badly. At least now he's playing slightly less badly. So.
He's playing fun at times. We'll say
fun,
even if it's
he's
not
playing fun. Himself back into the league post this year. We'll
he's,
just say that
he's trying. He's trying, guys.
Yeah.
He's
yeah. Merge, any final thoughts?
At what point do we say let's just blow it all up? Let's be honest. And just trade LeBron and trade AD.
It's not happening.
I know, but are we anywhere close to that point?
No.
At this point?
No.
Just because we're reaching that point where there's no like how much has LeBron really got left in him? And AD's great, obviously. We love AD, but it's just tough to see this team winning our championship in the next year or two. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm not very optimistic in terms of just stuff around the, around the edges, around the margins. That's why I always champion a guy like Masai Ujiri so much because he is so good at the margins. But it's just hard. It's just hard to be confident in all of this team. Nelson knows at this point. To me, it's just wrestling. That's all I seem to even focus on at this point.
Very true.
Oh,
it's just funny. It's just funny that Merge is like a guy like Ja Morant would really help the Lakers.
That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying.
I'm sure he would.
Thanks, Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Masai is just the best example there, but there's a lot of other ones. But that's what makes him the best GM in basketball. Is those? It's not just getting a Pascal Siakam to be a star. It's also getting a, you know, a Gary Fred Trent for nothing, and Fred VanVleet for nothing.
Literally got Gary Trent for just Norman Powell.
So yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm always going to pay attention to the team. It's just, you know, all-time low in terms of interest in actually watching what's going on in terms of.
Oh, this can't be the all-time low. Last season.
No.
That was tough.
it's at an all-time low right now.
We're watching Russ like. Have like
y'all guys were watching us.
Yeah, I was at the by the end of the year after we stopped doing podcasts, I was not.
We were watching like Stanley Johnson drop 20 a game, and that was like
Stanley Johnson.
I saw that on the timeline.
Stay on a team if it isn't the Lakers. He was not good on the Jazz, but for whatever reason, he was good on the Lakers.
Good, very good.
It probably has something to do with, you know, we had a really good developmental, just everything in terms of developing guys, but
yeah,
we don't have very many shots at it because of all the picks being traded and, you know, sending a first or a second when it's not needed and all that. So
yeah. Anyway, also to get rid of JaVale, like send two seconds with him,
JaVale and 2 seconds for Marc.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
To get Marc Gasol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who, I mean, one second.
At that point, like,
oh, yeah,
those are late second round, or those are late first round picks at this point too, which they is are. just something.
Top 40 picks. I mean, we see guys who are really good who are in that second round this year already. So,
yep.
So anyway, yeah,
I can't believe the pick swaps are actually coming back to bite us.
Oh, they're no, gonna, I'm so shocked. All right, before we keep rambling on. Raj, our man, our buddy, Mr. Big Swole, do you have anything that you want to add?
No, I think that was fun. As someone who is still watching all these games, I would, you know, I would hope that they turn it around to get you guys back in. I hope.
Yeah, you have a professional obligation, though, Raj. You have a professional obligation.
I try to. I have to wake up at 3 something in the morning to go to the gym. Other than this.
Oh, I know. I see.
The games start at like 8:30 over here, so it's a lot. 8:30 and 7:30 are 2 completely different times, so it's hard to watch the whole games.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I watch the game, then I have the post game that ends like 11:30, and that's like 4 nights a week usually. Yeah. So I hope for a little bit more fun. I want to come back and we're like, I don't know, what are we, 3-10? Hopefully I can come back and we're like
6-12.
Hopefully like maybe 7-11. Can we do that? We have some like, you know, we have some winnable games coming up, other than the Suns.
Can they get there? That's the question.
Wait, they play tomorrow, right?
They play Detroit, and then they play
Cade Cunningham like San Antonio. Is 30 points tomorrow.
He's not playing.
Oh, is it? Okay, my bad. Sadiq Bey is going to drop 50 points tomorrow.
No Cade, no Isaiah Stewart. So, you know, LeBron can chill.
It's going to be good. Dennis Smith Jr. That's who it's going to be. He's actually been good this year, who I've heard.
Oh, Dennis, he's not. Is he on Detroit? I thought
he's on Detroit, isn't he?
Yeah. He's on Charlotte.
He's on Charlotte. Okay, yeah. I confused this. He was on Detroit. Like, last
you gotta
year.
Get out. You gotta get out from wrestling, man. This is not Raw. Like you gotta.
I was close.
You gotta keep up.
We're not watching big sports here, Merch.
Are you sure? We've asked Nas. We've asked Nas, and he says this is not a real sport.
It's basketball.
According to Nas, no, not anymore.
No.
Yeah. So Detroit, San Antonio, Phoenix, that's a loss. San Antonio. So maybe they can go 4-1. I'm gonna guess it's more of like 2-3 or 3-2.
San Antonio.
Kelton Johnson's gonna do something.
If they're 4-1, if they go 4-1, I'm demanding you to come back on, and you can just laugh at me for an hour.
I'm definitely coming back. 100%.
Hold on. If they go 4-1, Clay's going on Twitter Spaces because I don't see him out on Twitter.
If Twitter is alive,
he's talking in the Twitter Space. I've never heard this man talking to Twitter Spaces.
Oh, I that will never happen. I'm sorry.
Even with Raj?
No, come I on. Love Raj, but I'm not doing
we'll
that.
Get, I, we'll get Guru on there with you. Don't worry about it.
I feel like I legally have to not say anything to that comment.
Okay.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. That was well, I wrote down schedule. We kind of got there in the final thoughts. Thanks, Raj, for always, you know, joining us when you can at Raj. I don't want to mess up your last name.
Raj Chipalu. Yeah.
Palu. Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought I was going to say it right, but I didn't want to mess it up. Then at Merge 1998, Nelson, you're what?
Nelson _.
It's the two underscores. Yeah.
Read his F1 content, people.
Yeah. I read about cars going fast. So, you know, it's different. You know, Raj is living like probably all of our ultimate dreams by like, you know, covering the Lakers and getting like
talking to J Huff, getting the sentence out of him.
Yeah. No, cool yeah. up and elbows with Scottie Pippen, you know, asking about his jump shot and all that.
Nice. And then you can find me at Lakers 1949. You don't have to. Twitter's about to be to burn down to the ground.
No,
so.
I believe in you. You shouldn't. No one should
ever believe in that man. All right, that's it. Thank you all for listening to us. Sorry for being loud there for a while. And yeah, bye.
Go Lakers.
Go Lakers. Go Raj.